And Yitzchak brought Rivka to the tent of his mother Sarah, and he then took her as his wife and married her. And Rashi explains, what does it mean that before marrying Rivka, Yitzchak first brought her into the tent of his mother Sarah? It means that Yitzchak saw the harehi Sarah imay, that she was exactly like his mother Sarah, that there were three miracles that would always take place in the tent of our matriarch Sarah, of Sarah imenu. First of all, when she would light Shabbos candles on Friday, they would miraculously burn from one Friday until the following Friday when she would light them again. Also, there was always a blessing in all dough that Sarah needed. And finally, there was always a cloud of the divine presence upon the tent of Sarah. And Rashi says that when Sarah died, all three of these miracles stopped. Which means even though, of course, Abraham and Yitzchak were lighting Shabbos candles, because we know we have a tradition that the patriarchs kept the entire Torah, including rabbinical laws such as the lighting of Shabbos candles. They also lit Shabbos candles, but they burned out naturally on Friday night. But when Rivka came, after the whole long story that we read in this week's Parsha, that Eliezer did the mission to go back to Avraham's hometown to bring a wife for his son Yitzchak, the whole long mission that Eliezer did, and finally Eliezer brings Rivka to Yitzchak, and he tells Yitzchak, as the Pasuk says right before this one, right before this verse that he brings Rivka into his mother Sarah's tent, the Pasuk says that Eliezer told Yitzchak everything that happened to him along the mission. And Rashi says that means that part of that was that Eliezer told Yitzchak about the miracles that happened to him. We know there were a lot of miracles that happened for Eliezer in this mission to find the shidduch, to find the match for Yitzchak. Eliezer, first of all, had kfitzas aderech, a road, a path traveling that should have taken days. He did in one day. He had kfitzas aderech. The path miraculously was able to get there, almost fly there somehow with all the camels. And there was the story that, if you remember, when Eliezer prayed to God that Hashem should show him a sign, who's the right girl for Yitzchak. And at that moment, as he was praying, Rivka came and started filling up water for Eliezer and his camels. He was miraculously answered. And Eliezer told Yitzchak all these miracles. And yet, says Rashi, Yitzchak was not yet convinced. What Rashi is saying is that before the pasuk goes on to say that Yitzchak married her, even after he was told all the miracles that Eliezer told Yitzchak about, all the miracles that took place in the mission to bring Rivka, before Yitzchak was convinced and decided to take her as his wife, what Rashi is saying is that he first brought her to the tent of his mother Sarah. And he had to first see that the miracles that happened to Sarah in Sarah's tent, the miracles of the Shabbos candles, and that happened as she baked the challah, and the divine presence that was openly revealed in her tent, that had to happen first with Rivka, and only then Yitzchak agreed that it was his bashert, that it was the right woman. Only then did he take Rivka as his wife and marry her. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe pointed out the obvious, incredible lesson we see from here. It didn't matter to Yitzchak all the miracles that happened in the mission to bring her. The question was, in Rivka's behavior, in her mitzvah, the way that she served God, her relationship with God, was that miraculous? Was that magical? Was there a tremendous divine light being brought into the world by Rivka herself as she served God? Is the divine presence, is that holy cloud of glory felt in Rivka's tent the same way that it was felt in the tent of Sarah? When Yitzchak saw, yes, that it was, that again the Shabbos candles are burning the entire week from her mitzvah, then he knew that she was his divinely ordained wife. Then he took her as his wife. Miracles, external miracles, didn't impress him. It was how she connected to Hashem. And this is an extraordinarily deep lesson for all of us. We all have different definitions, what we consider to be a great person, a great human being, whether it's the fact that the person is very smart, very kind, very loving, very beautiful, very strong, very wealthy, very talented. People could be magical in a lot of different ways, but what makes a person truly magical is how they connect to Hashem. Each and every one of us has to know that that's the ultimate sign of who we are as people, is our connection to Hashem and the light that we bring to the world. And the Rebbe goes on to point out something else fascinating. Remember that at this time, Rivka was 3 years old, which means that even though Avraham and Yitzchak themselves had been lighting Shabbos candles since Sarah died, which of course is the halacha. If there's a Jewish home, if God forbid there's a Jewish home that a woman is not there and it's just a man at home, then he has to light Shabbos candles and make the blessing. So Avraham and Yitzchak had been lighting Shabbos candles, but their Shabbos candles didn't miraculously burn. The candles of a three-year-old girl, they miraculously burned. And the Rebbe says that this is a source for the idea that he always said that it's so important that every single Jewish woman from the age of three, even little girls from the age of three, should be lighting Shabbos candles, just like we find by our matriarch, by Rivka Imenu. That she was lighting Shabbos candles from the age three and hers burned the whole week, even though her Avram and Yitzchak's candles did not. You know, there's a story in 1976 when the Rebbe started publicly pushing that all little girls from the age of three have to start lighting a Shabbos candle, one Shabbos candle every single Friday. A Hungarian woman went into the Rebbe for a private audience. She was very upset. She said to the Rebbe that in their heim in Europe, little girls didn't light Shabbos candles until they got married. And the Rebbe responded to her, in the heim, they also didn't have televisions in the house and newspapers and things that could possibly have a negative influence and darkness into the house. If you add things that could bring more darkness into the house, then you have to add more light into the house also. But the Rebbe said even deeper than that, and that is, even though we believe that all Jewish women who are daughters of Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah, all Jewish women's Shabbos candles really are burning and adding light to the house the entire week. Even though women don't see, it's not the physical candles go out on Friday night, they extinguish. But the spiritual light, the effect of the Shabbos candles, of course, every Jewish woman, the whole week is burning for all women. But especially for little girls. The Rebbe goes on to say that even little girls in some ways even more. Because as the sages teach that it's the breath of little children that learn Torah upon which the world exists. The breath that never tasted the taste of sin, it's their Torah that's even the highest. The Rebbe says the same applies to the mitzvahs that little children do. Hands that were never involved in sin. When a little Jewish girl lights Shabbos candles, in some deep ways, her candles brings even more light to the world than adult women. And therefore, all parents should see it as a great schus, a tremendous merit, to be able to have their little daughters from the age of three lighting one Shabbos candle until she gets married and lights two. And especially this Shabbos after the Pittsburgh massacre, in the merit of those that were killed. If there's anyone whose daughter until now has not started lighting a Shabbos candle every Friday, it's a great time to start. And in that merit, we will see the candles of Zion being lit by Mashiach Tzidkenu, when all of us will again be together in Jerusalem.